Rule changes in the NFL have officially been implemented. To break them down and analyze what they mean for the Packers, we bring in Adam Check of AllGBP.com. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TVs and 24/7 Sports Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about some off-season matters of the Green Bay Packers today, and we're talking about the new NFL rule changes implemented yesterday at the NFL spring meeting. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have Adam
Expert Check. Interview.
There we go. Adam Check of AllGBP.com and the Associated Press. Adam, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Brian.
As usual, we're glad to have you on the show. Like I said yesterday, new rule changes in the NFL. What was your reaction to hearing that the line of scrimmage on extra points will now be moved to the 15? I guess that makes it kind of like a 32, 33-yard extra point.
I guess so. My reaction was, you know, this seemed like a solution in search of a problem. I'm not sure what was wrong with how extra points were originally being administered. I didn't see any need to change it, and I guess I'm still kind of unclear as to why they made the change. What are they trying to accomplish? Are they looking for teams to go for two more often? Are they hoping for more missed extra point kicks? I guess I'm really not sure what they were trying to accomplish with this rule, but we'll see if it ends up being a good thing. You know, like anything else, sometimes change is tough, especially for people stuck in their ways like me. But this one, I'm kind of having a hard time seeing why they did it and what their goals were.
Well, I guess that leads me right into my next question here, because I think it's done to make, you know, things more competitive rather than the 99%+ chance that the extra point was going to be made from the 2-yard line, and albeit it's not being made a lot more difficult by this, but now also the defensive team is able to return the PAT for 2 points. Do you like that aspect being added to the rules?
That I'm okay with. You know, I don't see why, if there is an interception or a fumble on a 2-point conversion attempt, why the defense just has to, you know, pick it up and just stop. And so that part of the change, I guess, makes sense. You know, if a defensive player makes a good play on a 2-point conversion attempt, they should have a chance to score.
I heard one argument from somebody on Twitter the other day, and I wish I would have, like, saved the link or something. I forget who said this exactly or who wrote it, but they propose that, you know, injuries are only going to increase in the NFL by making the PAT more competitive, you know, with the opportunity for defensive players to return it for points. You know, sometimes they almost took that play off. You would see a lot of players, and now there's a chance to block it, return it. Do you think, I don't know if this is a majority opinion, but do you think injuries could increase as a result of this?
Well, I'm not a doctor, even though I sometimes pretend to be. I don't see injuries going up significantly because of this. But again, you know, who knows? Really, is there any more of a chance of getting hurt on a kick if it's from the 33 compared to if it's from a 2-yard line? Or, I mean, is there really going to be that many more injuries if more teams end up going for two? I mean, wasn't it TJ Lang last year in the Packers that got hurt on a extra point attempt maybe it was Josh Sitton. It was one of the two, but injuries happen in the NFL, you know, to
Justin Harrell one time suffered a season ending injury on an extra point.
Yeah, Justin Harrell, unfortunately, I think, was a guy who also probably suffered season ending injuries getting up to the refrigerator after, you know, for an evening snack. But, I mean, obviously, you have to be concerned about injuries in the NFL, but it's football. People are going to get hurt. And of all the things that I don't agree with this point after touchdown rule change, I don't think it's going to lead to an excess amount of new injuries.
Now, one interesting thing I heard, I believe, is Peter King of Sports Illustrated and MMQB.com say the other day, I believe he was on, was it Mike and Mike in the Morning or something like that? He said the way to encourage more two-point conversions is to move the extra point back even further, kind of as opposed to, you know, moving the two-point conversion closer. Do you think that would work? Do you think this is maybe the tip of the iceberg, a slippery slope, where extra points could be pushed back even further than the 15-yard line?
Well, again, it kind of gets back to what's their point in doing this? What's their ultimate goal? If their goal is to encourage more teams to go for two, well, then just get rid of the option to kick an extra point for 1 point and just make it all you're going for 2 points from the 2 yard line. Or, you know, sure, if the ultimate goal is to get more teams to go for two, you can move the extra point kick back all the way to the 30 yard line if you want. But again, you know, I'm still unclear as to what the NFL is trying to accomplish with this rule change. If they want more teams to go for two, well, that's easy. Just get rid of the option to kick it or put the kick back so far that it just makes more sense to go for two. But, you know, again, I'm just not sure what the problem was with the original extra point and what the ultimate goal was for making the change here. Maybe if I had a better idea of what the issue was with the current extra points, I could have more of an answer for that. But of all the things that could use some tweaking or some fixing in the NFL, I don't think the extra points are even on the list in my opinion. But that's what the NFL chose to fix, I guess.
Maybe they want it to be almost a 50-50 chance, and they just want people to hem and haw and debate whether you go for one or go for two, and it makes for good conversation, I suppose. But
well, as bloggers, Brian, I'm sure it'll give us some extra fodder here during the season when McCarthy chooses to kick an extra point in some key situation instead of going for two. So maybe they had the bloggers in mind.
It gave us 10 minutes to talk about here this morning. So anyway, we're talking to Adam Check of allgbp.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Adam, to move on to a different topic here, the Brett Favre flag football game is officially being announced on Wednesday in a press conference at Camp Randall. The cat has already been let out of the bag in terms of, like, people know this is happening, but they're going to get precise details here. Just last week, his induction, Brett Favre's, into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame sold out, some 67,000 tickets in all. Do you think a flag football game is going to surpass that?
If you would have asked me that a week ago, I would have said no. But seeing how the tickets went for his retirement ceremony at Lambeau Field, I think I'm changing my answer on that. That's a really impressive showing by Packers fans to fill up Lambeau Field for Favre's retirement ceremony. And, you know, if you would have asked me if the flag football game would have drawn 20,000 fans, I would have said, nah, probably not. But it sounds like they might fill up the entire Camp Randall Stadium now. So that'll be interesting.
So you wouldn't have guessed they even would have sold out the Hall of Fame induction?
No, not at all. And again, that's obviously I was dead wrong on that. But you know, to fill up a stadium of 70,000 people, I mean, essentially, Favre's just going to be coming out and waving, and the ceremony is going to be on the big screen, correct?
Yeah, it's people sold this out for not even the chance to see the ceremony. They're watching it on video, which is crazy.
No kidding. It kind of harkens back to the old days of when they would have big wrestling matches or big boxing matches on closed circuit TV in arenas that were next to the actual arena where the event was taking place. So it kind of harkens back to the old school. And I'm proud of Packers fans for selling out Lambeau for a Favre's retirement ceremony. It shows how crazy we are in a good way.
Okay, so what do you think, what would you pay for tickets to a flag football game? Or maybe just what do you think tickets would be for a flag football game?
Well, some might say that the NFL has kind of turned into flag football, and I pay a lot of money to go watch Packers games. But for this Favre event, it's for charity, if I understand it correct, right?
I've heard that been said, yes. I guess we'll learn more details today. But
well, if it's for good cause and you're going to get to see Brett Favre toss the ball around and a cool college stadium in Madison, I mean, I would go $10.
That sounds about right. I probably would have said the exact same thing, about $10, maybe, you know, a little bit more if there's a surcharge or whatever, $12. You get 15 and above, I might balk at that, but we'll find out here shortly. Adam, have you seen Pitch Perfect 2?
You know, I consider myself fairly up to speed on movies. I love movies. I love watching them and following Oscars and all that kind of stuff. I had never heard of Pitch Perfect, the original one. So maybe that shows that I'm falling out of touch. And then I heard that there were going to be some Packers in Pitch Perfect 2. And I said, well, where's Pitch Perfect 1? And apparently it's a fairly popular movie that totally never flew below my radar. But no, I have not seen Pitch Perfect 2. Sounds like it's one of those movies I might catch when it comes on Netflix.
Yeah, I can't blame you. I mean, it's a fun sort of thing. This type of movie isn't going to be winning any Oscars, but it's built up a little franchise of its own. Yesterday, in kind of off the Packers, you know, a little bit here, but Robert Kraft and the Patriots said they'll accept the penalty from the NFL. But apparently that doesn't apply to Tom Brady, who can appeal his own suspension. Do you anticipate Tom Brady's suspension being reduced?
I think so. You know, it seems like most of these, like most suspensions, or maybe not most, but a lot of them do get reduced. And I can see Brady's getting cut down to 2 games. You know, 4 games I thought was fair, but I can see maybe if Brady comes into his appeal hearing and sits down with Roger and he shows maybe a little bit of contrition and maybe not admitting to what he did, but maybe softening his tone somewhat as far as planting his feet in the ground so firmly, I can see the commissioner saying, okay, we'll go 2 games instead of 4.
Yeah, I tend to agree and you know, think the brunt of the storm is directed more at the Patriots organization, who's going to lose the first-round draft pick, the fourth-round draft pick. I think they lose some money or $1 million, something like that. But anyway, Adam, go ahead.
Oh, no, you have to wonder if that organization is going to learn. You know, it's Spygate and now this. And I'm sure they're not the only organization out there that skirts the rules a bit, but for as successful as they are, some of the things they do to gain an advantage, you wouldn't think it's necessary, but they do it, so it must help them.
For some people, they've said, you know, maybe an asterisk is appropriate next to their Super Bowl championship this past year. I don't know if I'd go that far, but anyway, Adam, I appreciate reading your Surviving Sunday column at allgbp.com every week. You're planning that, having one for this Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, I do my best to get it out every Sunday, and if I can't do it one particular weekend, I I have one of my cohorts over at allgbp.com take care of it for me.
And so this continues just through what, training camp? Do you stop it then?
Yeah, usually I stop once training camp kicks in, because that, as being a Packers blogger, the topics get a little bit few and far between here in the off season. So the surviving Sunday gives me a chance to, start off with a intro on a Packers topic, go into some Packers news of the week kind of stuff, and make some commentary on that. And then my favorite part is the non-Packers links I put up there that goes from everything to a well-written or well-reported journalism stories that I see during the week to random musings on old-school professional wrestling and other nonsense that gets some of the commenters on our website scratching their heads.
Well, I enjoy reading it every week, so and appreciate you having on the show. We'll send our viewers, our listeners there to go read it. But, Adam, thanks for joining us and talking a little football this morning.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, take care. Adam Check of AllGBP.com and the Associated Press. Adam actually covers professional sports in the Twin Cities area, the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Wild for the Associated Press. Not the Packers, but, very cool nonetheless. So anyway, thanks for him for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. And we continue our discussion with
Packers news of the day
here on a Wednesday. Just yesterday, on Tuesday, it was that the NFL approved the rule changes on extra points, on PATs, effective for the 2015 NFL season. So, last year there was an experiment during the preseason. This is no experiment. This is going to happen, both in the preseason and in the regular season in the NFL. And for my own two cents here on the topic, I guess I'm going to say this, is that I'm glad the NFL did not choose to move the two-point conversion to the one-yard line, which was proposed and an option they were considering. Basically, in addition to the rule changes that were indeed implemented. But I don't like the idea of the 2-point conversion at the 1-yard line, because this isn't an original idea of mine by any means, or am I the only person to say this? But I think one of the results could be that you're simply having more quarterback sneaks or something like that. And is that really going to improve the game of football to see a quarterback sneak? That's not really, I think, what the game of football is all about. Not to say it isn't, but just the fact that to see it, to encourage more quarterback sneaks, I think would be the wrong message to send. As it is, I've kind of heard general statistical analysis that, the 2-point conversion from the 2-yard line has basically been a 50% success rate. So kind of a 50-50 proposition, whether you'll actually convert it or not. And I think that's perfect right there from the 2-yard line, whether, there's risk involved in going for two, and will continue to be that way, even though the extra point is being moved backwards, and the 2-point conversion is going to stay the same. Some people think that this could encourage a little bit more often of going for two, seeing as the extra point is being pushed backwards, making, it's still pretty close. A 32, 33-yard extra point is not going to be all that difficult. Whereas, I don't think that's going to necessarily encourage more two-point conversions. Maybe a very, very slight uptick in the increase, maybe just from the standpoint that, I think you've seen in college football a lot that, I've mentioned this on the last show, a team like Oregon, they go for two quite a bit, just because, you get that, if you can have yourself a success rate over 50%, you know, it almost does become worth it because, I mean, hey, okay, if you miss one 2-point conversion, if you convert the next, I mean, it would have been as good as 2 extra points, right? There was an interesting discussion on Mike and Mike on ESPN radio this morning, or ESPN2 if you watch the television version. They had Adam Schefter of ESPN on as a guest, and they talked about if a team was penalized for holding during an extra point. So that's a 10-yard penalty. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the line of scrimmage would be pushed back from the 15-yard line to the 25-yard line, and you're talking about a 42, 43-yard extra point now. The team has the option at any point to choose to go for 2 instead. Now, the penalty would still be enforced, but, I mean, if you're talking about a 42-yard extra point, would you maybe instead try to go for the 12-yard 2-point conversion? That is certainly no given either, but it's not like teams don't convert, you know, first downs of 12 yards in length. It would take a real good pass and catch to do so. More than anything, you can't imagine too many runs would be called from 12 yards out on a 2-point conversion. But, you know, when you got an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, let's just say hypothetically the Packers were called for holding, out on the wing, they you know, grab a guy and throw him down or whatever. Might you call on Aaron Rodgers to go for 2 points from the 12-yard line, basically? Now you're getting to be toss-up area there, I think. What could happen, and it, like I said before, I've heard that, you know, you push the extra point back even further, and that's going to, you know, encourage more 2-point conversions. So I really do think the NFL wants it to be almost a toss-up as to whether you go for 1, go for 2. Just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of discussion being sparked, and a lot of second guessing of the coaches, I guess. That's makes the game more fun and exciting, and I can't blame them. I like the change that they went with, you know, rather than just the plain old, you know, extra point from the 2-yard line. This is not an earth-shattering change by any stretch of the imagination, but I think the game became slightly more competitive, and that's a good thing. I'm definitely not against the changes the NFL made here just yesterday. But in terms of our next segment,
the day ahead.
On Wednesday, details of the Brett Favre Legends Flag football game, as we mentioned before, are going to be revealed in a press conference at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. Like I said, the cat has already been let out of the bag. We kind of knew this was coming. We knew the date it's going to be held on Sunday, July 19th, a day after Favre is inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame on Saturday, July 18th. So kind of while he's still in town, so to speak, not that Madison is Green Bay, but, you know, it's a short drive away for Brett Favre to spend the night and then just head, you know, over to Madison with a short little jaunt the next day. We already know most of the details. We've learned that it's going to be a Brett Favre and his former teammates against former opponents, which is, you know, kind of cool. Wouldn't it be, you know, fun to see him teaming up with a guy like Robert Brooks once again? And on the other side of the field, to see him take on a guy like John Randall or something like that would be fun to see. So about the only thing we don't know, I believe, is perhaps the money. That's about the only thing I haven't seen. I I saw that Brett Favre himself, or some representative of him, had posted to his Score social media account a link to the tickets at the University of Wisconsin ticketing website. And I had seen that the game will take place at like 4 o'clock p.m. local time. So that's kind of answering one question right there. But I did not see how much tickets were being sold for. So that's about the only question I believe that's yet to be revealed, and unless there's some surprises here that are in store and maybe we find out. I've heard the press conference is going to be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time at the University of Wisconsin. That coming from a blog post at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So stay tuned for that information that will be coming down the pike later on Wednesday. But that pretty much does it for today's show of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. Thank you to Adam Check of allgbp.com for joining us and talking a little bit of Packers football here during the off season. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, I know I harp on this, but please give us a rating on iTunes. It's one small way for us to get the word out about the show. There's no paywall, no subscription. Listening to the show is absolutely free. So the one small thing we ask in return is give us a rating on iTunes. Helps get the word out about the show. Helps, when people see there's a lot of ratings, they're like, oh yeah, this, maybe I should listen to this podcast. So helps us out in a small way. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you once again. We'll be back again on Friday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the live edition of the show, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, on demand whenever you want, later in the day. Basically, as soon as the show is over, you can watch us on our live stream channel, our live stream account, and get it podcasted shortly thereafter. We'll see you. I leave you today with a song called Let's Go Outside by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.